Okay, the meeting was called to order at 8:03. Roll call. Kim Laird is here. Sandy Brown?
Here.
Don Lewis?
Here.
Jerry Martin?
Here.
Jim Maxwell?
Here.
Bob Newman?
Here.
Will Penman?
Here.
And Katja Sebin?
Yep.
And I always pronounce your last name wrong. I'm sorry. So we are all here. Yay. Approval of the agenda. I did make a few corrections. I don't know if everyone received them because I just emailed them out within the last half hour. All that was adding John Satriano as 2007 Festival Director, changing the wording of Andrew Conway's music, the copyright issue. He had asked for the wording to be changed on that.
What's the new wording?
The new wording is... I have it here somewhere. Competitors may use copyright, royalty-free, or public domain recordings. Should a competitor elect to use a copyright recording, they must provide written evidence that they have obtained all necessary rights from the copyright owners to use that recording in IJA competitions and videos. Just a slight wording
that
difference.
Sounded about the same to me.
Yeah, it's just very slight that he wanted that. So, and Andrew Conway also requested that we add on about the bookkeeper position, which I have done. I put on the two, he actually worded two motions and put an or between them, either appointing a bookkeeper or hiring a bookkeeper. So that's there too. But let's go on, first of all, to our approval of the agenda. Are there any objections or changes or corrections that need to be made? If not, I'd like to approve the agenda by unanimous consent. Okay. Passed by unanimous consent.
Any opposed?
Any opposed, thank you. Okay. Very good. Agenda approved by unanimous consent. The previous minutes, the minutes of August 30th, are there any problems with those, any corrections we need to make?
Did you guys approve the earlier August meeting at the August 30th meeting?
Let me go back and double check that.
I didn't think you would because it was such a short meeting, but maybe you did. If not, you should do both meetings.
Yes, we did. We approved the July 19th, 21st, and the August 16th meetings. We got those in really quickly because it didn't take that long to do.
Great. Okay, just checking.
So they were done. So it's just the August 30th notes that we have to approve. Is someone
moves to accept them.
Okay, everybody okay to accept them? All right, is there anyone opposed? All right, they're passed by unanimous consent. All right, on the reports, Katja, do you have any information, wrap-up information on the 2006 Fest?
I don't have anything more than what you guys saw from Martin, and I have not gotten the survey together. I was going to talk to John Satriano and see if he still wanted to have a survey of this year's people. I know you guys have some sort of a newsletter thing you're planning to send out, and maybe we could announce it through that or through an email, but I know you don't want to send out too many emails.
Okay.
I believe the newsletter is going out this week, the gods are willing.
Okay.
Personally, I don't know. I don't see a problem with sending it out as a separate email.
Neither do I.
All right, I'll talk to John and see if he feels it would be useful at this point.
Okay.
The only other thing is that we're getting some orders for the leftover buttons. Sandy took half of them for John. I'm not sure what he's going to do with them for publicity. And the other half we're sending out to people who missed out on the first round.
Oh, you kept some at your house, Katya?
They sent a second. Yeah, I kept one bag. They came in two baggies, so I just took one baggie and gave you the other baggie.
Okay. We're giving them out as we're giving them to festivals. We're just giving them. John tells me what to send to festivals, like DVDs, and we're giving them, for example, I'm just giving them away, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, if you run out and you want more, let me know. I might have some more.
Okay. I think I just sent a package to about four festivals, and I included six in each packet.
That's a lot.
Okay. I don't believe John is with us tonight. So obviously that means there, unless, Sandy, if you have any information about the 2007 fest that we need to be brought up to speed on?
Nothing really new right now.
Okay.
John is going to start working on a web page for that, and he's starting to gather all his volunteers. I should say he's highly disgusted with the forum, and he refuses to look at it right now, and he's been that way for a while. So any news that comes across the forum regarding the festival, I'm reporting to him. Like if somebody asks a question, he won't go near the forums right now. So he's having a really hard time with just the people who post. So I should say he does not want to be approached right now.
Okay. Not a problem.
Not a great situation, but he was at a point where I'm not sure he's gonna do 2008 now. He's pretty disillusioned right now by the IJA in general.
Sandy, I would recommend that he keep visiting the Festival 2007 forum.
Yeah, he's visiting that one. Well, actually, he hadn't in a few weeks. No one's posted on there for a while, and I keep checking. I check, but he won't. And he did actually make two posts in the last few days to the public site, but that was the first he had done in a while. That really, nothing else to report about the festival. He's going to start getting his volunteers together. Winston-Salem is not able to give us 2008. 2009 is a possibility, but we do not have a site for 2008. Kansas City, as it turns out, is not going to pan out. And I don't know what else Todd has in the works.
I recall seeing something for Cincinnati or Cincinnati or Cleveland, someplace in Ohio.
Yeah, it's a possibility. There are some issues about, some of them are labor, union laborers, and it was very, very expensive compared to Winston-Salem.
I see.
So,
we're looking at someplace in Colorado.
I haven't heard Colorado in the mix at all.
I forwarded some information from someone in Colorado to Todd.
Okay.
Followed up on it at all.
Yeah. Haven't heard from Todd in a while.
Is Todd the one who's looking at 2008, or is that?
He's the festival site selector. So, he's the one who would.
This is Bob. I did talk to him not too long ago, and he's still actively looking for sites. I hadn't heard anything about Colorado though.
Mm-hmm.
Out of curiosity, why didn't Kansas City work out?
Kansas City did not work out. They couldn't give us the dates we wanted. That was one of the main things. The second main thing was that there really wasn't a theater available. And the quote they gave me to build a theater that I felt was suitable was just cost prohibitive. It also was a really bad room, long, rectangular, floor seating, no possibility of bleachers because it was a very long rectangle and it didn't go deep enough. There was no place for shows. Everything else looked great, but there wasn't an opportunity at the performance venue.
Mm.
Yeah, here in New Orleans was cheap.
Right.
Heck, it might be worth it. Check it out.
Anything's a possibility at this point. It's worth checking everything out. I don't believe Dan Holtzman is with us tonight for Championships 2007. He did have a performance in Florida today and wasn't sure if he'd be able to call in. He told me by phone the other day that he's actually interested if Craig Barnes does not want to stay on as Championships director, that he would be interested in being Championships director. But is very open to input about the scoring system and whatnot. So he's still pursuing the scoring system idea, which I believe is later on our...
Has he been in touch with Craig Barnes over scoring?
I don't know if he has personally, but that may be... I would think that would be the next logical thing to do. There's been some good input on the forum over the proposal, and I would like to suggest that he contact Craig Barnes.
Because we don't want Craig Barnes walking off in a huff because he hasn't been involved.
Exactly. What I can do is give Dan a call tomorrow. He will be on the road, but he gave me a contact number. And if it's all right with the rest of you on the board, I'll give him a call and ask him to please contact Craig so that the two of them can speak directly.
This is Sandy. I feel like I need to be kind of candid about this. I will tell you, I don't think with this new proposal from Dan that there's any I'm not so sure Craig is even included in the plan. So I think whoever wants to handle this, I want to stay out of this because I've known Craig for too long, but I think Dan and John have their own plan about this. I think that whatever is done, I think it is the festival director's choice to choose who he wants to volunteer, but Craig has been with us an awful long time, and I think this really needs to be handled carefully because I agree. I don't want any hard feelings. I don't want anybody hurt, and Craig has really served the IJA, and I'm not getting a great feeling about where Craig stands in all this.
Yeah, and when I spoke with Dan the other day on the phone, it was just on Sunday, my first phone call with him before he submitted a written proposal, he had told me he has no interest in being Championships director. He just wanted to work with the scoring.
Oh, really?
And then as of Sunday, it turned into, well, if Craig doesn't want to stay on, he's willing to take it over. And I thought to myself it was kind of odd that, you know, he made two completely different statements to me within a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. Well, you may know more about it than I do then, you know.
I have a question. Since he's not here with us tonight, were you still planning on having us vote on that, Kim?
I don't believe I have it on this updated agenda.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just a report.
Right, it was just a report.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't even up for vote originally, so it was just going to be discussed. So it's still in discussion stages at this point.
I think my suggestion would be that perhaps Kim should call Craig Barnes and find out where the land lies.
I can do that.
Kim, I just wanted to let you know that Dan kind of has a history of this.
Okay.
I don't know if Sandy can vouch for it, but I know Todd and I both had long, long discussions with Dan, who had big, big plans, and would be willing to take it over if nobody wanted to do it. So.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
I think that we just need to handle this delicately, and maybe I don't mind you talking to Craig at all. I mean, I think it's a good thing. You might want to let John know you're going to do that. Because John might have, he and Dan might have their own plans, and yet I'm not so certain that they would be the plans that the board would choose. So I would agree with Katya.
Not a problem. And by all means, being that this concerns the fest, I would, of course, make sure that, John was aware of the contact. So that all makes sense. I just wrote out a sticky note for myself so that I can do that tomorrow.
I can tell you that Craig is planning or hoping to do it next year.
Mm-hmm.
He's been for a very long time, and he didn't see anything go badly this year that would make him feel like he would be fired. So,
well,
plane fare and the whole, the whole entire convention package deal. Would have to renegotiate that. But he said, if you'll have me, I would like to do it. So.
And I think in talking with him, I'd like to approach it from the fact that, Dan's original proposal was just for Dan to work on the scoring system, and introduce this scoring system. I would like to see if Craig would be willing to work with him on that, and have maybe Dan do the scoring and Craig handle everything else. By all means, if he's not interested in changing it, if he's not interested in going in a different direction with the scoring, that's something we need to then discuss and see which way we feel it needs to go. And, of course, have John very much involved since he's fest director. We just have to get everybody on the same page with this, I think, and I'm not sure if Craig follows the forum. I kind of doubt it because I've never seen him post. So it is important for him to know this is out there.
I would also suggest bringing Arthur Lubell into the conversation.
Okay.
And Craig is open to changes. This last year we implemented the video preliminaries.
Okay.
That was
right.
a pretty big effort and change, and he was pretty good and easy to work with. And we were thinking about trying to update some of the scoring changes too, and we decided against that just for a lot of reasons. But he is open to it, and now's the time to start talking about it. I'm a little surprised that Dan and John are talking about this without talking to Craig with all his years of experience. So.
I know Craig was in Dan's original idea, and it was just going to be Dan working on the scoring and Craig, working with the performers and lineups and things like that. But as I said, things changed on Sunday when I talked with him, and all of a sudden he was, looking to be championships director.
Like I said, that's not new.
Okay.
Thing for a while. So.
It's good to know that. It's good to know that that's a pattern, because that changes things a little bit.
And this kind of brings up a topic of, these are important changes we're making, and I think that the board really should have a say in changes in our championships and things like, volunteers who have been with us for so many years, don't want to just toss them away. They're valuable to us. So, on the other hand, change is good. But I just feel like this shouldn't just be Dan and John's decision about this. And I'm really stuck in the middle of this. I will probably just lay low on this one because I'm helping John out. But I just feel a little odd about the way this could pan out.
Right.
I can tell you that from Craig's point of view, the championships director is really a separate thing from the festival director, that it's not that it was definitely more of an equal footing thing, not a
loss.
Did you get that feeling, Sandy?
Well, no, but I see your point now. It's not really for John to say.
Exactly. Well, at least not from Craig's point of view. And when I got my head around it, I was like, okay, yeah, you know what? I don't need to be having my finger in this. It's been working for a while. I'm just going to pass it over.
Yeah, it would be like, you know, John, maybe that isn't for somebody, for John to appoint. That's not,
right.
You know, so I see what you're saying, in which case John should know that. Yeah.
Okay. It's not obvious. We're doing this by the seat of our pants.
Right.
Okay. I'll give Craig a call. Let him know the proposal is out there. If he would like to see the proposal by Dan and hasn't seen it on the forum, I'll email it to him, or have him refer to it on the forum. But I can email it to him just as well. Arthur Lubell, I know, is a very integral part of the championships, but for my own personal clarification, could someone explain to me what his role is? Because I don't exactly understand that.
He's the judge wrangler.
Okay.
The judges all their equipment and supplies, and also helps facilitate the discussion.
Okay.
When the judging is happening and they're deciding the first, second, third, he kind of moderates everything, and so he's been involved in for a long, long time.
Okay.
And also he's a pretty even-handed fella. I think he gave us some very good input on the whole video preliminary thing.
Right.
And he's just somebody with a lot of history. You know, and he's also very involved in mathematics and can help with statistics and figuring out math and things like that.
Okay, thank you. I knew he was integral. I just didn't know in what capacity, so thank you. Okay, are we ready to move on a little bit? Finances, I can tell you I have the signature cards from Bob and from Martin, and the third person is escaping me at this time.
Should
waiting.
Be me.
That, yes, you, Jim. Thank you. It's that Darvacet kicking in. and I'm waiting for Andrews to come back yet for view access only. But Jim's and Bob's and the three that I have right now are in the bank's hands, and as soon as I get your passwords and your numbers that you have to use for your username right now, I will get those to you immediately, especially Jim and Bob, so that you can take care of that. They did send us a load of checks. However, they have the old IJA address on them, not the present one. So they are being corrected at this time. Mm. And I'm sorry that I don't have a full quarter report ready for everyone, but I just didn't get a chance to pull it together with the surgery and all. So I apologize for that.
Well, we're disappointed in you, Kim.
I know. I should be replaced. Any volunteers? any questions about finances? We have money in the bank. Yay. I can tell you that much.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. I did just also pay our September-October invoice for the September-October issue of Juggle. That was paid within 24 hours of receiving the invoice. So we're good on that. All of our bills are paid and up to date at this point. And, Sandy, I am looking for that check to find out where that went. I'm waiting for a call back from Jack McMichael to see if he did receive that.
Yeah, I can write another one. It's no problem. There's one floating around.
Yeah, I just don't want to see that out there, you know, somewhere without us knowing where it is.
Right.
So as soon as I hear back from him, I will take care of that.
No problem.
You might want to cancel the one with my name, too, because that never surfaced as far as I know.
Which one is that, Katya?
That you guys were getting a credit card for me.
Oh, the debit card. Yeah, that has never surfaced. It has never been activated, and NetBank is aware that we never received that. So as soon as the fest was over, they made sure that that was canceled out. So they are aware of that, and that was taken care of with them. Okay, moving on to insurance. The ad appeared in this latest issue of Juggle. So far I've received two emails actually asking for information on it. So I sent them Randy's email so that he could answer their questions directly, because he said that he would be happy to do that if it was something that was more than what any of us could answer. Off the top of my head, I don't remember who they came from, but there were two. And hopefully everybody was happy with that ad.
Yeah, it looked great.
Randy was thrilled with it. Randy from Pax Holt was absolutely thrilled with it, since they are now members. So
I guess Jackie Erickson, he saw John at Juggle Club, and I guess Jackie Erickson said, right on, this is huge.
Yeah.
So great. It's creating some buzz.
That's a good thing. And I'm sure not all Juggle isn't in everyone's mailbox yet, so I'm sure we'll be hearing more, I hope.
Yeah, I haven't gotten mine yet. By the time my mom got it and then she ships it up to me at college, I'm still waiting for it.
Yeah,
and I'll be waiting for another few weeks in Canada.
Yeah, so I'm sure once it gets in everyone's mailboxes, hopefully we'll be hearing a little bit more buzz about it, and getting some more interest generated. So that's all I – oh, and we do have our directors and officers insurance.
Great.
I went – most of us agreed with the – to go with the $2 million policy. So that's what I went ahead with. If we decide to change that at a later date, that's fine. I don't remember if I did it by email or the forum, but I sent to all of you on the board the five different quotes that we received.
Mm-hmm.
Hartford, who is presently our fest insurance coverage, would not even give us a quote, which I thought was very odd. But just so people know, we did get quotes from five different companies, actually three different companies, and two companies refused to give a quote. So,
why is that?
The one company said they wouldn't give a quote because our former D&O insurance had lapsed.
Oh.
And Hartford did not give a reason. They just said they would not quote us. So I don't know if that was also because of a lapse or...
Because we got sued before? Or were we part first? Yeah.
Yeah, it could be because of, you know, the suit before, because that had to be reported. They go back 5 years in your record to see if there were any lawsuits filed or whatnot. So it's very possible it was from the suit, but doesn't matter. We are all covered right now. It also covers the fest director, anyone within our organization that the board deems as an officer is covered. So that's a good thing.
Great.
Any questions about the insurance?
This is Jim. I do have a question, but I will just email that to you. It's regarding our own coverage for our festival here.
Okay.
Because we're getting city funding, we have to name the city as co-insured, and also we have to have a waiver of subrogation.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we just need to find out if that's possible.
I did talk to Randy about that because you had mentioned that at our last meeting, and he said that won't be a problem.
Okay.
So they would be able to still do it for you.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, if there are no other questions on insurance, moving on to the store. Sandy, any information on the store?
Yeah, I'm still trying to do something with the boxes. I better do something fast. My husband's getting pissed at me. Well, let's see. Just things are going pretty smoothly now. You know, I pretty much just get things out once or twice a week, and right now we don't have any merchandise pending. Everything is shipped out that is supposed to. Every once in a while something comes, Joyce is in my way, somebody that says, well, I've been waiting 8 months for this or 6 months for this, and we immediately kind of, you know, fix that. Scott Seltzer is taking over Joyce's position. I don't know how far along he is in completing the learning tasks, but it should be fairly soon. Right now, everything is going pretty smoothly. I wish that we could have some updated software and OS Commerce so that we could figure out how many, for example, 2005 DVDs we sold in a year. Right now, there's no way to compile that. There's no way to take a, you know, kind of cordon off all of the inventory. All I do is ship it out and update things on the store and then take things off of the merchandise pending list. So I do wish, Joyce seemed to think that it was a software that we probably needed to make things easier to find out. For example, we don't even know how much we've sold in 1 year.
Right.
Do you know, Kim?
No, because the only invoices I see are the ones for our wholesale accounts.
Right.
So anything going out just to an individual or to a member,
right?
I don't see those.
So we might need to take a look at that. Maybe what I'll do is I'll contact Joyce and Scott about that and see what we need to do. If it's something, you know, fairly inexpensive, I really feel like it's software we should have. We can't do a budget. You know, I felt as though the 990s, $15,000 worth of merchandise listed on the 990s, I felt like that was grossly inflated. That does not reflect what I send out to the store. Of course, there was very little sent out in the first 4 or 5 months of this year until I had the inventory.
Sandy and everyone else, just so you're aware, PayPal does have the function of showing every single item that was sold. However, they will not do that until the end of the calendar year.
I see.
So after December 31st of 2006, we can request a full year accounting off of PayPal, and they will do that for us, but it's a lot to sort through all at one shot like that. I wish they were able to do it monthly or quarterly, but as of right now, they don't.
I'll check about the OS Commerce
stuff.
Okay. Somebody joined us.
Excuse me?
Sounded like somebody clicked in but didn't say the name.
Yeah. Was that you, Martin?
Yeah.
I thought I heard you. I thought I heard your voice. Yes, Martin Frost. Okay. Any questions about store? Okay, moving on to membership. Jim, any information on membership?
Nope. Things are progressing right along. I do have a backlog of about 10 checks that and memberships that need to be updated in the database, and I plan on doing that as soon as this meeting is over.
Okay, great. I do have a question for you, Jim.
Uh-huh.
And this is purely with finances. I realize that we need a way of keeping the database up to date and all.
Mm-hmm.
However, Digital Forest is costing us an awful lot of money.
Yep.
It's actually costing us more than the website is per month. Is it possible for you and Mike and Marilyn? I know Mike really research this thing, but is there possibly a less or a less expensive way for us to go on that?
Well, there is, and I think Don has kind of started that, but since then, both Joyce and Dave have dropped out as webmaster. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Don, the goal is to get a database system that uses MySQL.
Yes.
That would be able to that would afford us the same functionality that we have with the FileMaker Pro database, and also would interact with the store, and that way also members could update their information themselves online. But you know, I don't have the technical chops to see that through. So, I mean, this came up last with the last board, and Dave was planning on coming up with sort of a system to see if he could make something like that work. But then, you know, the festivals came up and everything kind of got scattered.
Right.
But I'm certainly, I've said from the beginning that I'm willing to work with whatever system somebody else hands me, but the current system is in FileMaker, and I don't believe that there is a less expensive way to have that FileMaker database shared by multiple directors.
Right. Okay. I just like us to kind of take a look at that, because as I've been looking at our monthly bills, there are a few areas where I think we could be saving money, and it wouldn't be a whole lot of money, but it would be a step in the right direction.
How much is this costing us per month?
$59.
So we're talking about $700 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's certainly worth $700 a year.
Absolutely.
Right. But I'm looking in the grand scheme of things, we're only paying $18 a month for our website. And I know the functionality is completely different, but, you know, if we could, just like keeping a budget at home, if we can look at places to save a couple nickels here and a couple nickels there, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I'm not saying for us to get rid of it right away. I'm just saying let's maybe take a look at some other options that we may have in front of us.
Well, like I said, I don't have the technical chops to make it happen, but I'm pretty confident that if somebody presents an alternative program in SQL or whatever platform, that I can be brought up to speed on how to operate it.
That sounds great.
But this also kind of leads into, you know, in terms of compatibility with the store and with members updating their own information. I currently have a number of members who cannot log in to the website, either for the forums or I don't think I have anybody for the store, because Joyce is pretty good about taking care of those. But there are members that can't log in with the access number that I give them, which is...
Typically, the people like that are people who have been members for a few years,
mm-hmm.
and their password is their, like, 2003, 2004 seven-digit access code, or 2004, 2005.
Well, that gets...
2004, 2005.
That gets updated, though, in May, right?
No, not on the website.
No, I mean in our database.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm pulling their membership access code from our database.
Right. You don't have their right. You don't have that old password. I happen to have copies of the database going back to that year, so I have those passwords, which hopefully actually still work on the website. But basically, those members got those passwords stuck into the website for the forum, and not for the store, just for the forum. And then each year their seven-digit IGA access code changes, but not their forum password.
I see.
Because they can actually change the forum password themselves,
and
we don't dare change it for them. lest they've actually changed it themselves.
Okay.
I mean, we could overwrite all of their passwords with the new ones from the database, and then they'd have to know that they'd have to get the new password off Juggle. But that's the reason that we have this issue.
There is there no reason? Is there any reason why we can't just have each member set up their own password? I mean, is there any reason why they have to use that that access code that we set them up with?
Well, you can't get to their passwords, so you can't verify their passwords for voting. Those seven-digit codes were particularly for voting, but we also use them for other things. So, I mean, people could set up their own passwords on the website, but you'd have to have some way to initialize them, and that's what the seven-digit access code was for.
Okay, well, let me get with you after this meeting or at some point, Martin, and we can kind of hash this out, and I'll try and get those people taken care of.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks a lot, Jim. And thank you, too, Martin, for sharing that information. On to continuing business. The strategic plan that is there is item 6A. We had talked on the forum about, you know, this doesn't need a vote. It's, you know, just a way of looking at direction and basically organizing, you know, here's some things that we would like to do. So I am willing to withdraw that item. I don't know how to properly go about doing that, though.
I think you just don't move it.
Okay. So we can just skip over that then.
But don't we have to table? No, we're not tabling it.
We're not tabling it. I just want to withdraw it.
I think you can declare it withdrawn.
Okay.
It's a procedural matter that, yeah, I don't think needs, like Don said, I don't think it needs a vote.
Yeah.
I mean, formally, if you wanted to say, does anybody want to move this? And if nobody moves it, it doesn't get moved. But, you know, I think everybody agrees you can just skip it.
Okay. All right. So we will skip this, and that item will be withdrawn from future agendas. 6B, volunteer positions. I just received the email today from you, Katja, that you would like to be taken off as board recording secretary. Is that correct?
I think that would be fair to the board at this point.
Okay. All right, so we'll change that, and we will miss you.
I'm not doing a very good job. You guys need somebody who's more committed and more interested right now. I think I just need a little break from the IJA right now.
Okay. Well, we thank you for everything that you've done for us, both as recording secretary for the fest. definitely after the fest, you deserve a little bit of a breather.
I might be writing or something pretty soon. So.
Oh, excellent. Great.
But I just changed that on the motion. I changed that to position open need volunteer.
Thank you. Okay, but we have webmaster, assistant webmaster. Both of those are open. Archives director is Alan Howard. Assistant archives director, Brady Brown. Magazine liaison, Scott Slesnick. Regional festivals coordinator, John Satriano. Merchandise distributor, Sandy Brown. Store manager, Scott Seltzer. Video coordinator, Andrew Conway. European representative, Minnie Mansell. Canadian rep and roster wrangler, Greg Phillips. Chief teller is Maggie, I don't want to murder her name.
Clap off,
thank you. Future festival site coordinator, Todd Strong. Board recording secretary is open. Mentor program liaison, Stephen Regatz, Affiliates Director, Jerry Martin, and 2007 Fest Director, John Satriano.
This is Jim. My understanding was that Stephen Regatz was also saying that if we could find somebody else to take on the mentor program liaison.
I remember that, too. Yeah, he does not want to do that.
Okay. So
he said he would do it, but he thinks we should find somebody else. I'm sure that he basically will hold a position until we find a replacement.
Maybe he should be the one finding the replacement.
So should we list that then as position open, need volunteer? Or should we list his name / need volunteer?
Yeah, I would put him in with a note that he would like some help.
Okay.
I cannot hear the last comment. You want to leave him listed or pull him?
I'd suggest you leave him listed and just advertise for the position, and he can always resign, and you can appoint a new one when you have a volunteer.
Okay.
That way you have at least someone officially in that role.
We could call him Stephen Ragatz, outgoing.
Well, you wouldn't need to approve it as a year-long position then. He would just remain ad hoc.
Okay.
I think somebody should let him know, though, just what we're doing, because, my impression was he does kind of want out of it, so we want to make sure we're letting him know that, yes, we are looking.
Yes, I'd call him the pro tem liaison with the note that he wants to be replaced.
Then you should probably list it as open.
Okay.
I guess nominally he's already been appointed as pro tem with everybody else, so.
Right.
True.
That doesn't need to be done.
Okay.
I have a comment. My title is merchandise distributor, and that scares me a little bit because it started that I was just sending out some DVDs. And I just want to nip this in the bud. I just want to make sure that it doesn't get bigger than I am, which can happen. I have it, all I can handle right now. I cannot squeeze in one more IJA thing in my life. So I just want to make sure. Maybe I should be the DVD magazine distributor. I don't really even want to. Joy says, well, do you want to take on, if we order things and ship them out? And no, I really don't want to be in charge of finding people to send out cups or anything like that, or shirts or anything like that. So maybe I just need a job description.
And I don't have a problem with DVD and magazine because that's pretty much all we have right now.
Okay.
Well,
maybe we could, I don't mind keeping it merchandise, I guess, as long as it doesn't become bigger than what I am right now. I don't mean to cop out, but...
No, you only have so much room in your home,
Yeah.
Description's a good thing.
So merchandise is a nice short name, but it's not quite as descriptive as you'd like.
Yeah.
Do you want the name to become IGA DVD and magazine distributor?
Well, yeah, possibly. If no one really objects, I mean, that does...
That would make it clear.
Mm-hmm. It would make it clear.
Very clear.
Right. I just don't want... I've had a few emails from people asking this and that, and I know nothing about it. So I wouldn't mind just... I like doing the grunt work,
Let's change the name then.
That sounds
and
great.
Okay.
DVD
great.
And magazine distributor.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, do we have someone that would like to move that these individuals be approved?
Don will move.
Okay.
Sandy will second.
Okay. Okay. And now, is there any further discussion on this?
This is Jim. I'm just curious. I hate to ask Don to go back to that newsletter. I'm sure he started looking at it by now. But how are we going to publicize these open positions? I mean, we've got the webmaster and assistant webmaster in the newsletter.
We'll do it in the next newsletter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It hasn't gone out yet.
It never will. Get this one out. We can do another one in 2 weeks if you want.
Yeah.
We are loving this newsletter already.
It's just a good way to get information out.
Yeah.
Okay. If we have no further discussion on this. I would like this to pass by unanimous consent. Is there anyone opposed? If not, motion passes by unanimous consent. Okay, item 6C is something that Andrew had suggested, and I'm personally am not sure if we're ready to decide anything on this, and it's about the position of bookkeeper. Scott Plappinger and I have been playing phone tag for about a week now. He was interested in having his bookkeepers for his company take care of going back and, you know, taking care of the 2 years of books that we do not have records for, and that is 2005 and I want to say 2003, but I'm not sure of that second date.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, he would like to actually, he would like to be the treasurer and have his bookkeepers take care of the bookkeeping for us. We also have an offer from, Sandy, help me with her name, please.
Holly?
Holly, yes.
Like really?
Yes, she has made an offer to get our books in line for at least 2005. I don't know if she was aware of the 2003 books, and would charge us, if I remember her email correctly, $20 per hour. This would give her a chance to see how much is actually involved with doing the bookkeeping for the organization. So we have two offers here on the table, but I have not had a chance to talk to Scott lately and get a firm, here's what he's willing to do.
Well, since we've got the position advertised in the newsletter, let's send the newsletter out this week, and presumably by next week we'll know if we have any bites.
Okay.
No point in hiring somebody on to do it now and then get a bunch of volunteers saying, well, why did you advertise?
Right.
Right.
And that's why I said I'm not sure if we're exactly ready for this motion in either format at this point.
Yeah, I would say table it or whatever.
Yeah, I would say table it too.
Yes.
I have a comment about Scott's position on this, and that is he feels pretty strongly that he that the bookkeeper and the treasurer job should not be split up. He wants to kind of have himself and his bookkeepers do the whole thing. I know that Andrew feels pretty strongly that it should be split, and so I'm curious about the conversation we all should have. I don't know how I feel about it. I just I do know that it's probably better if we have several people able to do this job, or at least have their hands in it rather than one person.
Well, I think in an ideal situation, we would probably have two people who can collaborate fairly closely.
Yeah.
But it's highly unlikely that we will ever achieve that.
Yeah.
There's one person who can actually understand what's going on and get it done.
Uh-huh.
That is a better thing.
Okay.
With all due deference to Andrew.
Right.
And I think we can, you know, continue to discuss this on the forum, because like I say, I think we should just definitely table it right now.
Right. I'm in agreement with the tabling.
I go with that.
Is there anyone opposed to tabling this motion? Okay, if not, then the motion 6C is tabled for right now. Item 6D, copyright. Kim moves to accept Andrew Conway's competition rule. Competitors may use copyright, royalty-free, or public domain recordings. Should a competitor elect to use a copyright recording, they must provide written evidence that they have obtained all necessary rights from the copyrighted owners to use that recorder in IJA competitions and videos. Okay. Do we have a second of this motion? Or do we want to table it until there's further discussion yet?
I would suggest tabling it. Surely Craig Barnes ought to be involved in this if he's going to be running the competition.
Agreed.
It's all very well to Andrew to say, yes, that's the video point, and I agree with him. But on the other hand, there's other input I think that we could get.
I agree.
Before you move further on this,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have a second, then it's not an item.
Well, I just have one thing I would like to point out, Ms. Bob, that, you know, we have to treat the competitors fairly, too, and I think, you know, playing devil's advocate, if we wait too long, then it's going to be, well, you didn't tell us, you know, so we're kind of up against it. I mean, I don't see much alternative to this, so I'm not sure. I mean, if somebody else sees some alternative, I mean, there hasn't been much posting about it, and, you know, we're kind of up against the other option I remember Andrew saying was that if they do use music, well, that they pay for at least to perform, we get out of it if we just blank that music out, that they perform silently where we put other music in there. I'm not sure if that's really an option or not. But, I mean, I don't see we have many options here. I mean, it's just we are never going to pick up the cost of it. We can't afford to. So, I mean, we're up against a rock. I mean, I've been in, and I'm sure you've all had Randy LaSalle's emails, and I've talked to him extensively. But, I mean, we are just at a point where we're not going to be able to afford it. So it's not really, there's not many alternatives whether we want it or not, no matter who we have as a championship director or fest director.
Yeah.
Not there. I mean, it's just, it's not a question of what we'd like. It's like those hard decisions. I mean, I certainly don't like it, but, I mean, it's like we're not going to be able to afford that in our wildest dreams. So I'm not sure what the question is here.
Not to interrupt everybody, but, Katja, you had said it's not an item unless it's seconded. Does that mean we need to second it before the discussion?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought, so.
I second the motion.
Thank you, Sandy.
Now, sorry about that, gang, but I heard Koch's comment, and I didn't want it to go too far.
That's good.
Oh, what I was saying is I agree with you, Bob. I can't see this motion not passing. The reason that I didn't second it, I would have. I only had one reservation, and that's that in all of my emails and posts and everything, I've demonstrated an interest in at least hearing some of the music that we're going to be requiring competitors to use, and I so far haven't even, like, I don't have any context for what this motion would actually entail. So that the only way that I could see, like, me not looking with favor on this would be if non-copyrighted public domain music is ridiculously boring or slow or something, but
oh, no.
so I don't know, but I would at least like to hear something. You know what
Will?
I mean?
Okay.
Will?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But the choice, suppose that's true. Suppose it's boring and horrible and you can't stand that type of music. Are you going to say the IJ should break the law instead?
No. In that case, I would advocate that the competition rules not be changed, and instead the DVD be altered. I think that the validity of the competition is more important than the accurate representation of a bad routine.
Does this motion not allow that? I don't know what the motion states exactly.
The motion states that competitors are only allowed to use non-copyrighted music or public domain music or whatever.
If I can address this, the problem I think is going to be that it is almost, now my understanding now, and I'm not sure I understand Andrew right, because my understanding was we're, most places, venues have a blanket coverage, but Andrew says that's not true, and he's checked with them. So that I think it's almost going to be cost prohibitive for the individual competitor to even pay to have that music played when he competes. Now, I may be wrong there, but that is my general impression, that even if we don't do a DVT,
right.
We are still charging the competitor, or well, not we're not charging him, but we're expecting him to pay to use that music. And my general impression is the competitors don't think that's correct either. So I'm not sure we're solving anything, because we're still saying it's going to cost, I think, hundreds of dollars. I mean, it's not a massive amount, but for them to use music and with no DVD. So I'm not sure we solved anything at that point.
Okay,
at the theaters that do not have a blanket license already, and some do, I guess. And you're saying that Andrew said they don't all?
No, in fact, he checked with Winston-Salem, and they definitely do not.
They do not. Okay.
Because I was led to believe by somebody that they do, and
mm-hmm.
He said he checked, and they do not.
Yeah.
Even so, that would cover the performance at the competition, but it would not cover our DVD.
Correct.
Right. Correct. Yeah.
Now, Will, so that you can get an idea of the royalty-free music, if you go to www.p.info.com, that is a website full of downloadable royalty-free music. It's a royalty-free music library. In North Carolina, at the Hurricane Hugo Fest a few weeks ago, and Sandy, I know you were there,
mm-hmm.
The first piece that Matt Hall used for his performance was royalty-free music. And really, no one could probably tell the difference.
Yeah.
But they have movie scores on here. You get to choose your type of music, and it actually goes by the category, by the type of music, rather than by actual names. But there's a whole lot of techno stuff and all on it. So
interesting. Well, I hadn't heard before that we might not be able to get, like, a blanket license. The last thing I saw on the forums was that it would only cost, like, $100 or $2 for the IJA to play whatever music, including, like, at the gym or in the competitions. And so if that's not true, then, yeah, I could definitely see approving this almost regardless of what the music sounded like.
This is Jim, and my recollection is similar to Will's. I was thinking that we did determine that, it's not desirable, but we could afford to buy just a blanket license for the show. But in terms of reproduction on a DVD, that was where it became cost prohibitive. But I don't recall that well. I'd have to go back and look at all of the communications that were flying around. But
yeah,
and I know from I had emailed everyone the article from my county that I live in, which I thought was just a timely article, and they're paying $570-something to cover the entire county through ASCAP for all events that are held within the county.
Is that a yearly fee?
Yes.
Well,
that's also for the entire county for all countywide events.
And that's for an entire year.
And
you would think that for a week,
off of the local government rate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're not talking about events that are recorded and sold on DVD. That's where
big
problem comes in, is, using the music on DVDs that we're selling. I'm fine with holding off on this for a while. I know we need to make a decision soon for the competitor's sake, but
can I make a contribution?
Sure.
The Portland Center, their original contract said that no music could be played without permission, kind of a similar thing to this. And when I talked to them and told them that we were doing competitions, they said, oh, yeah, that's no problem. They say they have dance competitions, skating competitions, all kinds of things like that. And the venue was not concerned at all about music in competition. That didn't bother them at all. The other thing I would like to say is maybe you want to put this out to the general public. The forum obviously is not reaching the majority of our membership. Maybe that newsletter would be a good place to...
Actually, this is Will. Sorry to cut in. It has come up on rec.juggling, and I think in general people were okay with it. I know Michael Karras didn't like the idea, and no one really loved it, but I think they could all understand where it was coming from.
This is Jim Maxwell. That is also a point that this motion addresses only competitors. What about performers who aren't necessarily competing but are performing in either the Cascade of Stars show or in any other venues that we have? Perhaps this motion needs to be broadened to cover all performances and not just competitions.
Yeah, it gets to be a very, very sticky issue. Because Rob and I also DJ, and the more investigating I've done since this countywide thing came up, apparently if you play any kind of music publicly outside of your own personal listening use, you're supposed to be covered by some sort of licensing. So it's a little stickier issue than...
Yeah.
Than it started out to be.
So we have a short list of questions to ask Andrew, or if we wanted Andrew to research this, is that right?
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
One of them would be, what would the cost be for getting a blanket coverage? For just performance. I think another would be, is that venue specific? From something that we said tonight, it made it sound like it might be like workable for one theater but not for another. I don't know why that would be, but
it's where you play the music. Yeah. It's,
so
you know,
then I think
if you play music in two different theaters, you have to pay twice.
Okay. And so then another question would be, does the cost differ depending on where it is? Or what exactly is the cost breakdown of it?
That I'm
Those
not sure.
My only
like
question.
I think we should probably ask Andrew, as much as he doesn't like getting on the forum, to get on Board Plus, and so that he could answer the questions and we could all see them. Although he does tend not to do that, but it would be easier.
Yeah, and we need the answers to some of these questions before we can go ahead with this copyright. It's too important to our competitors. I'm
well,
worried
our
about them.
Are, let's just be clear on our alternatives. It's either, just so I can set this so we don't have, a million issues. The one issue is we either blank out their music and sell DVDs, or we don't sell DVDs and buy the music, and pay for the copyrighted music, or we force the competitors to pay. Those are really the three general things we can look at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no other gray area here.
Say that again, sorry.
Well, the first one is the competitors pay for the music and we're
right.
Safe to use it. Number two is if they use it, they still
have means
to pay
also,
for it.
Excuse me, Bob, but that also means they pay for the music or they use free music.
Right, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying about but I think the issue is...
They're not going to pay for the music, is my guess. They're going to use free music.
Well, so would I, but I mean, and the other thing is, though, they pay for the music to use at the competition, but not for the DVD,
yeah. Right.
Which I'm sure 100% of them will do. And then we either blank out the music or don't sell DVDs. That's our two options once that choice is made.
You blank out the music or they used public domain music.
Oh, yeah.
You're not leaving in the real option, the main option we expect here.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, if we leave them the option of paying, if it's minimal, let's say $100 to use, copyrighted music, they may opt for that and then we're stuck with either a blank DVD, with no music, soundless, or putting something else in, or not selling DVDs. And I'm totally against not selling DVDs. The competitions are but one night of a six-day festival.
I imagine we would dub in public domain music if somebody used music we couldn't use. We wouldn't leave it blank, and we wouldn't cut
right.
them out.
Yeah. But, I mean, those are just, there's not a lot of wiggle room here. Those are pretty much it, free or, the other options.
Right. I think the only other thing that we have to think about then is which of those two options, which is either change the music or change the DVD, Which of those options would we like to choose for the other things that we want to reproduce? We briefly mentioned the Cascaded Star Show and everything else like that. I don't think that a lot of those people, I mean, I don't know, but it seems unlikely that they would be willing to make a whole routine just using public domain music to be able to perform in the show. So we might want to consider, say, having the competitors use public domain music, but having, I don't know, performers in other shows use whatever music they feel like, and then changing just that session for the DVD.
For the DVDs, I'm not sure what music or sound is even put over the public show performances. I don't know if we've been using their sound. I mean, obviously, if they're talking, we're using their sound, but they may be, you know, be covered up with something else, more generic. But also, mostly public show type performances are only excerpted; they're not there in full. And so there's a possibility of fair use of small segments of pieces of music.
Okay.
And
yeah, I forgot about that.
I don't know how much, you know, how if that applies here, but I assume there's some fair use possibility there. Of course, if someone gets caught using that, then the performer himself might get, you know, sued for using not unlicensed music in the performance, not on the DVD. But
okay.
I don't think that's an issue.
So it sounds like we need to table this, and we need to ask Andrew some questions and get those answered before we make a decision. Is that what I'm hearing, that everyone wants to table this for now?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Table it for now, but no longer than one month.
Right. Yeah. We need to decide on this.
And I think you also need to publicly let people, competitors, know that this is likely to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't say, if you didn't pass, don't pass a motion tonight, to something is going to happen.
Right.
Something's going to happen in the rules.
Okay. All right. So if there are no objections, we will table this motion. Any objections to tabling? Okay. It is tabled. New business, and this is what I have forgotten to put on August's meeting, and again, I apologize to you, Will, for missing that. Will Penman moves the board, grant him permission to use the IJA roster to contact members in order to let them know about important news, to obtain from them personal information that would be helpful in understanding our membership, and to give them the opportunity to feel that their opinions are heard, especially by a member of the board. He also requests an IJA phone to defray the phone costs. Okay. Second, do we have anybody to second this?
Don.
Okay. Thank you, Don. And discussion.
Let me put out a technical issue just real quickly. We have a lot of IJA phone minutes that go unused each month. Mostly we expect our high phone usage to be just before, around the festival time. Currently, we've been having 1,500 to 2,000 unused minutes per month within the five phones, because we have a total of 2,500 minutes a month purchased every month.
Okay.
That's shared among the five phones.
Right.
And there's not that much use going on currently.
Should I have a phone, Jim?
Yes, and I have your phone. I just have not put it in the mail to you.
Okay.
I will do that first thing tomorrow.
Okay.
I apologize for that.
I'm just wondering where all the phones are, who has them, and mainly what the numbers are, so I can plug them into the phone that I have.
Yes, I can. I will post the phone number that I have. I have Dave's phone. I have the chairman's phone. Sandy will be getting the store phone.
I'm not sure I need one, really.
Okay.
I'm not sure you need one either. Do you?
Well,
think?
If we have one free, then that could be used for this.
Yeah.
That's the free one. Nominally, it's been suggested that, you know, that phone be put in use, and maybe Will would be the person willing to accept calls, for people to call and talk about problems with a store or whatever.
Right.
I will note that whenever I send out an email telling people to renew or about the festival or whatever, I always get a handful of replies that have nothing to do with the mail I sent. But the fact that my email went out there gave people, I need to ask about that magazine I didn't get 3 months ago, or or, you know, this or that, or what's happening with the championships this year. So I do get emails back. And we, I don't know, we don't have a general, you know, phone published phone number for this sort of thing, but we, although we do have the membership phone published.
Actually, I know I have a phone. Jim, you have a phone, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and we have the store phone, that's 3.
Todd has one.
Todd has one, yeah.
And John has one, is that correct?
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Those are the 5.
So those are the 5 there. And I would think that the chairman's phone, the store phone, and membership phone should probably be listed on the website, at least those 3 numbers. Because I know right now my home phone number is listed up there, which I have no problem with. But with the amount of time that I'm home, that's not necessarily a good way to always reach me.
And so,
for you, it's your choice. Whichever, you know, whatever you, phone number you want people to call.
Okay. All right. I mean, I don't want to be using up IJA minutes if I'm at home, but I wouldn't mind them having that chairman's phone number there so that, you know, if I'm out on the road somewhere, I can answer a question if they have it. I know Joyce had told me that general questions usually came to the store phone. So maybe that's a good idea for Will to have that phone and to be able to answer some of those questions or do the contacts.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
I don't think there will be many minutes spent on this sort of thing. I think it'll be down in the noise. If we get 50 minutes a month, I'll be surprised.
Okay.
Unless, you know, somebody gets into a long discussion about the championships or whatever.
Right.
Two other quick points. Our phone minutes are free after 7 p.m. local time, wherever the phone is.
Okay.
And before 7 a.m., between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. and on weekends.
Good.
Free.
No.
Unlimited. So, Will, if you're going to make gazillions of calls, if you make them after 7, it doesn't cost us anything.
Okay.
At 7 p.m. and on weekends.
So
we still have a lot of minutes for other times as well.
To recap, Kim, you have the chair phone and the store phone?
Yes, and I will, if everyone's in agreement, I'll send the store phone to Will.
Great, and then I have the membership phone. Mm-hmm. Todd has a phone, and where's the 5th phone?
John
Pasquano.
Oh, John, of course. Okay.
Kim, do you need my address?
Yes, I was just going to ask you for that, Will.
Okay, you want me to give that to you right now?
We can do it at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
Okay, that's not a problem. Okay, so...
Can we recap was there a plan that Will contact members, or...?
Yes.
That's what the motion is, for him to contact membership and give them the opportunity to have their opinions heard. And
Will, are you going to do this random sampling, or are you going to try and cover all 1,800 members? Or?
Well, I think it sort of depends on what the general reaction is. If after the first 20 or so, everyone seems to be really annoyed by someone calling them randomly, then I think I would stop there.
Okay.
I guess it really just depends on the overall reaction.
One way to approach it is to, for those that have email, to send them email and say, you know, I'm doing this research for the IJ in general, and I'd like to talk to you. Is it okay if I call you?
Yeah.
That might be a little politer way to call them, to approach.
Martin, does the roster online have the email addresses of everyone?
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it myself.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, I think, to...
Yeah, I agree. I think an email introduction that
sure.
This may be happening, and even to post it on the forum, you know.
We can also, Will, send you an electronic form, a copy of the database that has their emails, so you don't have to write them down. It's hard
okay.
to cut them out of the forum, out of the PDF file.
Yeah, and that way also you can ask them, you know, if you're agreeable to receive a phone call, what is a good time for you?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That way you're not calling them at an inopportune moment.
Okay. Yeah, those are good ideas.
Martin, you're going to get that to Will?
I think Jim can do it.
Oh, okay.
Will would need just the name, phone number, probably, you know, city, name, phone number, city, email address, whatever. Jim, can you send Will a list of members? I assume you're just going to call current members. I mean, it might be the non-members, the recent non-members that would be even more interesting to talk to.
Yeah. Mike is usually the one that does your list, Martin.
Yeah.
How does he send those to you? Is it an Excel spreadsheet or?
No, he sends them as a text file. He sends them, I guess, you know, as an attachment, as just a text file.
Okay.
Okay.
And Will, are you going to write yourself some sort of
script?
I don't want to call it a script, but that's what it's going to be. Just a general thing that.
Yeah,
the same information with each person.
Yeah, I gave an outline of sort of what all I wanted to hit in one of my posts somewhere.
Yes,
so
I did.
I have definitely been thinking of like possible things to say.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, any further questions on this?
Just one more time, name, email, and city. Is there any other information you think?
Phone number.
Well, hello.
Psychic phone.
We also have their date of birth, and I don't know if you want to include that, so Will has some idea of, you know, who he's talking to. But
yeah, I think that would be a good idea.
Okay.
Not date of birth. We have the year of birth.
Right, year of birth.
I only give the date. I never give the year.
And that's, you know, that's confidential information, Will, so we obviously
Absolutely.
Don't want people to really know this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And actually, never mind. That issue got resolved. I won't even go there.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion? If not, I'd like this to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? I remembered this time. Okay, if not, motion passes by unanimous consent.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks, Will.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Sure, thank you.
Good luck.
All right, on to the date of the next meeting. And I have a calendar here. Third Wednesday would be the 18th of October. Is that good with us?
This is Jim. I'm going to be out of town. It's not to say I couldn't call in, though.
Okay.
That's
going to be an extremely busy week for me.
Yeah, it's not ideal for me. I'm going to be at a conference in Indianapolis.
Would anyone be opposed to doing it on the 25th next month? That would be the fourth Wednesday instead of the third.
What about the second, in as much as we're trying to get the championships rule set sooner?
I'd rather go back a week than ahead. I leave for Asia on the 25th for a month.
Okay, so should we do for the 11th? Is everyone okay with the 11th of October?
That would work for Jerry.
Yeah.
I'm clear.
Good for me.
Okay.
Cool.
Looks like next meeting is October 11th. And that would be at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
That would mean agenda items would be due on the 1st.
Yes, it would. That's very, very quickly. Okay.
Who's going to follow up with Andrew about the questions about the copyright stuff?
I have a list of people that I'm supposed to call and contact already, but I have no problem doing that, too. It's up to you guys, unless someone else would rather contact Andrew. I can give him a heads up, and we can all post our questions. But I can give him a heads up and say we have some further questions about the copyright issue, and we'll be posting them on the Board Plus forum.
Or if you'd like, I could do it. It seemed like I was the one who had the most hesitation about it, so I'd be fine with emailing him if that would be preferable.
Okay. If you could do that, Will, that's fine by me. And as I said, if we at least put it on the forum, we can all chime in on it, too.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we need a move to adjourn.
Don will do that.
Don will do that. Thank you so much, Don. Okay.
If there's no second, does that mean we can't adjourn?
Bible second.
You don't need a seconder for an adjournment.
Okay, and Bob seconds. And Katya, what time do you have?
I have 8:30, so it will be 9:30 your time.
Yep. Sounds good. And anyone opposed to adjourning? I would assume not. Okay. If not, we adjourn by unanimous consent.
Good deal.
Yay. Okay.
Good night, everybody, and thank you, Katya.
Thank you, Katya.
Thank you,
Katya.
You all.
Will, I need to talk to you yet.
Mm-hmm.
Good night to everyone else. Thanks, gang.
Is anybody there?
Yes,
yep.
I'm still here.
Who do I send the minutes to now if Joyce isn't doing the...
If you want to send them to... I believe Martin has the writing capability. If you want to send a copy to Martin and to me, one or the other of us can get it on, because I don't remember if Don has write privileges or not.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're breaking up there.
I am?
No, Katya is.
Okay.
I'm just saying goodnight.
Oh, okay. Thanks again, Katya.
Bye now. Hope you're feeling better.
Thank you. Okay, Bill, your school address.
Yeah. You ready?
Yep.
1900.
Okay.
1102. Cume. Honors East.
Cume? C-U-E.
Yeah, Cume. H-U-M-E.
Oh, okay.
And then
Hume,
yeah.
Honors East.
Gainesville, Florida, 32612.
What was the zip again? I'm sorry.
32612.
32612. Okay, and the numbers there, 1900, 1102, are they all together?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Okay, I'll get that out tomorrow for you,
okay? Cool.
So just be expecting it.
Okay.
And if it's not there by early next week at the latest, let me know, and then I can find where it went. But I'm going to put a route or, a tracking number on it so that we can make sure it gets where it goes.
Yeah, good plan.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Will.
Yeah, thanks for leaving the meeting.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye.